Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding. Draw us close as beyond the written word we seek the living word. Beyond a human voice, we listen for your voice. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Amen. Several years ago, a woman came to see me who was in time of spiritual crisis. Her father had been a pastor. She was raised in a Christian home. And yet she came to me that day carrying a great burden of guilt and dread. Her marriage was faltering. She was at war with herself, and she came with Bible in hand. We talked. I listened. And then I sought to direct her to what turns out to be our New Testament reading this morning. I wanted her to see the joy, the peace, the power that there is in living our life in Christ Jesus. So she opened her Bible. She turned to this Colossians passage and she looked at it for a moment, and almost stunned, she began to cry. And I said, "Tell me, what's wrong?" And she turned her Bible around towards me for me to see, and she said, "Look, there's only three phrases in all of that part of Colossians that I had underlined. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch." At the end of Colossians chapter 2, the context, the Apostle Paul warns against false teachers who have infiltrated the church at Colossae, saying, quote, "Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch." And Paul says it has the illusion of sounding very pious and humble, yet it is powerless, enabling us to live godly lives. You see what had happened. She had taken the Christian faith and she had turned it into a legalism. She had turned it into a heavy list of do's and don'ts. And it was my incomparable delight that day to turn her to this passage that is our New Testament reading today. As the Apostle Paul, there at the beginning of Colossians 3, he says, if, it's a first class condition, he's assuming something to be true in order to argue the case. It could be translated, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you will be revealed with him in glory. How very, very different in living a life of do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. A life that is focused upon Jesus Christ as our very life. In eternity past, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit made a decision. God made the decision to include you and me in that shared life of love and endless joy. And so the Son of God came to earth, taking on himself our humanity, acting as our representative, so that all that happened to him happened to us. He lived for us. He died for us. He was raised for us, and we are ascended with him this morning to the right hand of God the Father. It's right there in the opening words of our Colossian text that we are included in the life of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into glory. I heard a story about a man who was visiting Israel. And he went to Jerusalem, and his guide took him to what is the supposed place where our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. He stood there and he began weeping. And his guide said to him, he said, have you ever been here before? And the man said, oh yes, I was here 2,000 years ago. I am caught up. I am included in the life and the death and the resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, it's right there in our text. As Paul says to these people that have been beguiled, they have been taken in by a legalism. He says, you have died. You have been raised with Christ. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't that an incredibly different vision of the Christian life? Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to people who are obviously alive. And yet he says to them, you have died. Now, is this mere metaphor? Is it a nice, sweet sentiment for a Sunday morning? What does Paul mean when he says, you have died? He says, all of your wrong is gone, it's forgiven. You have died with Christ to all of your guilt and shame, so that over your life is written, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Paul says that you have been raised with Christ. In what sense is it that you and I have been raised with Christ? We have been raised with Christ to the power of a new life. We are ascended with Christ, Paul says, to that right hand of God the Father that is the place of highest honor and authority in heaven and earth. I like to think of it in these terms, a very simple. I need a picture. That whatever I put into this envelope goes with that envelope when I send it. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that by the Holy Spirit you have been put into Christ so that you died with him. You're raised with him. You are ascended with him. And Paul says, what's more, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Commentators suggested this idea that your life is hidden with Christ in God, that it denotes a security, that God has you safe in Christ. But I think there's also another sense in which the Apostle Paul says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. I think part of what it means that as you look at me this morning, you can't really see me for who I am in Christ. And as I look at you this morning, with human eyes, I cannot see you for who you really are in Christ. It is hidden, just as the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ today is hidden from the world. So what we really are in Christ, it's also hidden with Christ in God. C.S. Lewis suggests that if we could really see each other for who we are in Christ, that we would be tempted to worship. We died with Christ. We're raised with him to new life. And we are seated at that place of highest honor and authority in Christ. Paul says, notice the tense of his verbs. Paul says we were raised with Christ, past tense. We are hidden with Christ in God right now, present tense. And one day we will be revealed with Christ in glory. Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When Christ is revealed for who he really is, you will be revealed for who you really are. Interesting, the word here translated as revealed, it's the word from which we get epiphany. You will have your epiphany. The world will see. We will see who we are right now in Jesus Christ. I love the words of the Apostle John over in his little first letter there in chapter 3. He says, what we will be has not yet been revealed, but we do know this, that when we see him, we will be like him. Oh, to see ourselves as the gospel tells us we are in Jesus Christ. When I say that I am a Christian, I'm saying more than just that I behave in a certain way. When I say that I am a Christian, I am saying that I believe that God has united me with Jesus Christ, making me one with him in his very life, his death, his resurrection, and seated at the right hand of the Father. That God made that decision in eternity past to include us in the life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To be honest, when I woke up this morning, I didn't feel this, okay? I mean, I was looking forward to coming here, but I don't feel that I'm raised and ascended, but it is something on which I reckon, on which I know to be true. It's something that I believe and I trust in. That the life of a Christian is not based on behavior modification and do's and don'ts. It's based upon our being one with Christ. Now, having said that, the Apostle Paul now calls for us to do a couple things. He says, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And we see that that's where you and I are, in God's sight. And he says, set your mind on things that are above. I don't think this has anything to do with otherworldliness. I don't think this has anything to do with escapism. It is not being so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. It's not that we go around thinking about heaven all day, but we go focused upon where we are in Jesus Christ. Alive, reigning at the right hand of God the Father. In a few moments, we will We will offer up the prayers of the people. We will offer up the prayers of the people as we sit with Christ at that place of highest honor and authority in heaven and earth. And we talk to our Heavenly Father. I can say with the Apostle Paul there in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. I can say with the Apostle Paul there in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives within me. I have a friend who wears a t-shirt. On the front of the t-shirt, it says, "It's not about me." And he turns around. It says it's about him. It's about Christ. The joy, the delight, the peace of going through life and one day standing before God and knowing it's not about me, it's about him. It adds a whole new dimension to life. It's about Christ. I do not know what you face today, but Christ is in that situation as he has made you one with him. Back in the 15th century, Thomas A. Kempis wrote a book called The Imitation of Christ, in which he has a lot of good things to say. But in the end, it's not about the imitation of Christ. It is literally the participation in Christ. The Christ is your life. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." There's no imitation of Christ. It's living in Christ, participating in his very being without losing our identity. If you're like my friend who came to see me several years ago, if you're like my friend this morning and you find yourself burdened with life, burdened with guilt, burdened by the past, burdened by what you face this week, let me point you to Jesus Christ, who is your life. Now, I've already gone on too long, and I'm not going to get into verses 5 through 11. But that's all right, because in verses 5 through 11, it's calling on us to be who we are in Christ, accepted, loved, forgiven, bound for glory. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Amen.